tiny gasps. Moans filled the room as their bodies slapped together, a little harder now, a little faster. Danny kept pace, her breathing labored, her hands finally releasing Harper's head, only to clutch at the sheets when Harper moved to her other nipple, her tongue swirling around it almost frantically.
"God, Harper,"
she whispered. She was exhausted. They both were, yet they couldn't seem to stop, not after the second time. Not even after the third. They hadn't spoken. Not with words, anyway. Danny didn't need words. This was their goodbye. She knew it. Harper knew it. They were saying goodbye with their hands, their lips, their mouths. And it would never be enough. Chapter 50 Harper had taken 2 days. Mize had told her it would take that long to sort everything out. She had taken 2 days. Danny hadn't even taken one. Despite her offer to drive her there, Danny had opted for a cab ride to the airport. It all seemed a little dreamlike now. Now that it was over with. Their last kiss had been bittersweet. They were just inside Harper's front door. The taxi had already honked twice. Harper hadn't known what to say. Danny, too, seemed at a loss for words. Yet when she walked away, she turned back, their eyes holding.
"I'm going to miss you. You made me feel alive, Scout. I'm going to miss that."
Harper had just nodded, unable to repeat the words, even though they were true. Danny had made her feel alive, too. But she didn't say them. She wasn't even able to say the one word she dreaded the most. Goodbye. She had closed the door before the cab had pulled away, closed the door on Danny leaving. That didn't make it any less real, though. She had leaned against the door, her eyes shut. Surprisingly, it wasn't Danny's image she saw. It was Jan's. Jan. Back in the day, smiling, laughing, flirting. Back in the day when they were younger, happier. Back when they'd first met and things were simple, before being a detective had consumed most of her time. Before the murders. Before Jan's death. Jan was smiling. Jan was waving. Jan was fading away. Tears had run down her cheeks. Jan was saying goodbye. Danny had said goodbye. Once again, Harper was all alone. Old wounds became new again. Even Jan's ghost wasn't there to keep her company. She had pushed off from the door and shuffled into her bedroom, collapsing on the bed.
"Today's the day, huh?"
She didn't remember showering, but she was sure she had. She didn't remember eating, but there were dirty dishes in the sink. She didn't remember driving to work this morning, but obviously she had. Here she sat. She nodded, taking the cup of coffee that Reed offered.
"You look like shit," he said bluntly. "And I'm not even talking about your black eye. Does it hurt?"
She touched her cheek lightly. The swelling had gone down some, and the bandage on the small cut had been removed the next day. The black eye, however, covered half of her cheek. "No," she lied. At least it wasn't broken. For that, she could be thankful. Instead of sitting at his desk, he pulled a chair closer to hers.
"So, you talked to her?"
She raised her eyebrows.
"Since she left, she called or anything?"
"No.
Should she? Well, I mean, you two got kind of close while she was here."
She was scared. I was the only one she trusted. It was his turn to raise his eyebrows.
"Is that all it was?"
"What are you insinuating?"
"I'm saying that it looked like maybe you were a little closer than just that. But Harper, Danielle Stevens, I mean, I hope you didn't do anything stupid."
"Stupid?
Like, you know, try something."
She smiled.
"With Danielle Stevens?"
"Right."
"Yeah, I know, but admit it. You had a little crush, didn't you? I mean, you spent a lot of time together."
"You jealous?" He laughed.
"Yeah."
She took a sip of the coffee, grimacing at the lack of sugar.
"So they find out who the clown guy was?"
"Not that I've heard.
He wasn't LAPD, though. Fake badge. Lot of reporters hanging around yesterday. Not sure if the FBI was able to keep Danielle's name out of it after all. She nodded. Didn't think they could. What do you think your suspension will be? A month? Or two? I wouldn't be shocked if it was 6. That totally sucks. You were right all along. There's no way they would have caught the guy if Danielle was taken out of the equation. And you were right. It could have ended very badly. Then what? If Danny had been injured? Or worse? Can you imagine the publicity this would be getting? Publicity. Lawsuits. She shoved the coffee away. Doesn't matter. It's over now. We move on. Yeah, back to normal.
Normal? What was normal? She turned away from Reed, letting out a deep breath. What was normal? She didn't even know anymore. Feeling this miserable, was that normal?
Yeah. For her, miserable was normal. She'd had a reprieve. For a week or so, she'd had a reprieve. Now? Back to normal. Only this normal seemed way worse than before. How was that even possible?
Harper? My office.
She nodded at Lieutenant Mize's command. She pushed away from her desk with a quick glance at Reed. Her phone was in her pocket, and she heard the quiet ding of a text message. She ignored it. For a few steps. As she stood at Mize's door, she pulled the phone from her pocket.
I miss you, Scout. A lot. Do you miss me?
Harper felt her heart jump into her throat, felt it try to choke the breath from her. With a click of a button, the text disappeared, and she shoved her phone back into her pocket.
Harper, come in. Sit down.
She moved into one of his visitor's chairs, sitting down with a sigh. Danny missed her. A lot.
Did she miss Danny?
Yeah. A lot.
Do we need to go over the particulars?
Harper looked at Lieutenant Mize.
Particulars? I don't think so. It worked out, Detective. You got the bad guy. A cop killer. A stalker. A rapist. A cop killer.
He shook his head.
You were damn lucky.
She said nothing. She didn't feel so lucky.
I miss you. A lot.
I had to talk like hell to get your suspension down to a few months.
She shrugged. Why? You don't even like me much. He frowned.
Why do you say that? Your wife. You take it out on me.
His brows drew together, as if he was about to protest. Then he relaxed and nodded.
I suppose I do. But this suspension has nothing to do with that. You were blatantly insubordinate. You went dark, unauthorized, with a civilian. And not just any civilian, a damn famous actress, for God's sake.
Mize slammed his fist on the desk.
I got my ass chewed for that, Harper. If anything had happened to her, we'd probably both be looking for new jobs.
I miss you. Do you miss me?
Do you have anything to say? Do you want to meet with your rep? You want to appeal? This isn't set in stone. You have options, Harper.
Do you miss me?
Yeah. I miss you. A lot. She stood up.
I don't think I'm going to be suspended, Lieutenant. I know you feel like you did the right thing, Harper. In hindsight, yeah, it probably was. But it was unorthodox, for one thing. You broke every damn rule in the book. You've got to be accountable.
No.
No?
She pulled her weapon from the holster at her waist and laid it on his desk. She did the same with her shield.
There's no need to suspend me. I'm resigning.
His eyes widened in disbelief.
What? Harper, if this is some ploy to reduce your suspension, it's not going to work. I talked them into 2 months. I think that's fair. They're not going to give a rat's ass if you threaten to resign.
I quit. I've had enough.
Are you serious?
He walked around his desk and stood in front of her.
You can't just quit, Harper.
Why not?
You're a damn good cop, that's why. We need good cops.
She met his gaze. You ever call Tucson?
Pull my file?
He shook his head.
Never had the need to. Why?
It might explain a few things, if you're interested. She shrugged. Doesn't matter. She took a step away. I need a break, Lieutenant. More than 2 months. He stared at her.
You're really serious?
I am. He walked back around his desk, standing behind his chair. Harper, I'm not going to accept your resignation. You take the 2 months. You see how you feel, then we'll talk. Lieutenant, 2 months. Give me 2 months. She stared at him, and him at her, neither blinking. She finally nodded. Okay.
Good. Take a break. Relax. I'll see you in a couple of months.
She got up to leave, then paused. The guy. Do we know who he was?
Yeah, he was a damn FBI agent who got dismissed a couple of years ago. Not sure why he was fixated on Danielle Stevens, though. I guess we won't ever know.
He shook his head.
It's one of their guys, so they're not divulging much.
She nodded. She had known he was a professional of some sort, but she never would have guessed an agent. No wonder he seemed to always be one step ahead of them. Reed was waiting for her when she walked out, and he barely let the door close to Mize's office before he was on her.
Well, what did he say? How long? How long?
2 months. He smiled and nodded.
That's good, though, right?
She clapped his shoulder affectionately.
You free tonight?
Free?
Yeah, sure. You want to get together?
I thought maybe I'd swing by, crack that bottle of Crown you've been saving. He grinned.
Hell yeah. I'll spring for a pizza or something.
Great. See you tonight. Harper took the stairs down, pausing at the landing between the first and second floors. She pulled her phone out, staring at the text again. What did it mean? What did she want it to mean?
Oh, Christ, Harper, get a grip.
She leaned against the wall, taking several deep breaths. What did she want it to mean? She was afraid to even go there. They'd spent 1 week together. One freaking week. I miss her. Chapter 51. Danny's hand involuntarily went to her neck, but the locket wasn't there. She didn't realize how often she'd fidgeted with it. No wonder it was worn smooth. So, what shall I tell her? She turned, staring blankly at Shelley. I'm sorry, what? You've been a million miles away ever since you got back. I said Pamela has been fielding questions from some of the tabloids. There are rumors swirling that you were seen at some dump of a motel in Claude, Texas, wherever that is, and that there was some police event or something. Do you want to respond? How could she respond? Did she really think her name could be kept out of it? No. What else?
Shelley looked at her notes. The people interview. She's rescheduled it for you when you're actually filming in Dallas. 3 months. They'll do it the second week of filming.
Fine. I've also got a list of properties, like you requested. I can set up appointments whenever you're ready.
Did she still want to move, now that the stalker was gone? Was there any need to move? Especially since she'd be going on location in a few months. And after that, well, she was going somewhere. She just didn't know where.
You can cancel that, Shelley. I'll stay here.
But what about the stalker? You think he gave up since you've been gone?
We'll see how it goes, she said evasively.
What else?
Shelley set her iPad aside.
Are you okay? You've been, well, more indifferent than usual, she said with a quick smile. Like I said, a million miles away.
Yes, she was, because in a weak moment she'd sent that damn text to Harper, and she'd gotten no reply. She should have just let it go. She knew that. But she missed her. A lot. Apparently Harper wasn't feeling the same.
Was she surprised?
No, not really. Harper was still living with Jan's ghost. She imagined that once she'd left, Harper's guilt had returned in full force, and Harper would deal with it alone.
I am a million miles away. Sorry.
She walked over to where her purse was and took out the locket.
I'm going to have to cut this short, Shelley. I've got an appointment with a jeweler.
It broke again? I can take it if you'd like.
No, I'd rather do it.
She folded the locket protectively in her palm.
Thank you, though.
Should I come by tomorrow?
Danny shook her head. There's no need. I'm having lunch with Pamela on Friday. Why don't you join us?
Okay. She already mentioned it to me. She said you had initiated it. That's rare for you.
Danny smiled. I have some things to discuss with you both.
Shelley seemed surprised by that statement, but she didn't question it.
Okay. See you then.
When she was finally left alone again, she plopped down on the sofa with a sigh. She was in a funk, and she couldn't seem to pull herself out of it. She had no interest whatsoever in what Shelley or Pamela had lined up for her. It would be a miracle if she could make it through the filming without throwing her hands up and running away. The only glimmer of hope she held on to was that maybe, just maybe, she'd run into Harper while she was there. But that was still months away. In the meantime, she would most likely turn into a crazy, eccentric recluse that Pamela and Shelley wouldn't know how to deal with. Of course, once she broke the news to them that she was leaving L.A., leaving the business, they might not care. Then, what would she have? No one. Absolutely no one. She had distanced herself from everyone in this town, so much so that being called aloof was now a compliment. It beat the other words she'd heard. Snooty and unapproachable.
Unapproachable?
Yes. But snooty? No, not in the least. On set, she was as friendly as anyone, with cast and crew alike. She was Danielle Stevens, star of the show. But when the camera was off, she retreated, back into her own private world, a world where she let no one enter. Not until she met Harper Jeremiah. Chapter 52. Harper didn't know what she was going to say to Reed. She couldn't very well tell him about Danny, about how close they'd really gotten. She couldn't tell him that they were lovers. She wouldn't infringe on Danny's privacy like that. Still, it would be nice to talk to someone about what she was feeling. Reed probably wasn't the best one to pick for a heart-to-heart, but as far as friends went, he was the closest she had. She paused before knocking. Was she really considering going to L.A.? She shook her head. Danny was probably... Well, since she hadn't answered her text, she'd been afraid to type the words. Danny probably was kicking herself for sending it in the first place. She'd been afraid to reply to Danny, afraid of what she might say. She took a deep breath, then knocked several times. Reed opened the door almost immediately.
You came.
She raised an eyebrow.
I thought we had a date.
Yeah, but that didn't mean you were actually going to show up. Come on in. Pizza will be here in about 30 minutes. The bottle of Crown sat on the counter with two glasses already beside it. She smiled at him and nodded when he asked if she was ready.
On the rocks?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, did you know that Danielle's last name is really Strauss, not Stevens?
He asked, as he dropped a couple of cubes of ice into the glasses.
FBI tell you that?
Yeah, that's how they tracked you.
You already knew, huh?
We used that name to rent the car. He handed her a glass.
I'd offered to do a toast or something, but that seems wrong, considering you're going to be suspended for a couple of months.
Yeah. About that, I... But she stopped. Lieutenant Mize had said to give him 2 months. And maybe she would change her mind. What else was she going to do? Become a security guard at a bank or something?
What?
I'm thinking about getting away.
Like a vacation?
I'm thinking about going to L.A. He laughed.
Oh, yeah. You got a crush.
She actually blushed. We're friends, that's all.
So you got that close that you can go visit? Danielle Stevens? Wow, now I'm really jealous.
You were around her enough, Reed. She's just a regular person. She's not a character you see in the movies.
How would you know? You didn't even know who she was.
She touched his glass with hers. But I know now, she said with a grin. He sighed wistfully. She's so damn pretty. I mean, I've seen Danielle Stevens without makeup on, and she's still gorgeous.
And I've seen her completely naked, she thought. He had no idea how beautiful she truly was, but it wasn't just her physical beauty. That may have been what attracted her, but that wasn't what drew her to Danny. Underneath it all, Danny was a young woman from a small town, still living in small-town fear of her aging parents. She was alone and vulnerable, yet still strong. Through this whole ordeal, Danny had only broken down one time, and that one time had tugged at her heart. But it wasn't just that, either. Danny could read her. Danny could look into her eyes and know what she was thinking, feeling. Danny could sense her guilt, or her lack of it. Danny knew about Jan. Harper hadn't been able to tell anyone about Jan, yet Danny... She'd told Danny, after knowing her one day. She'd told Danny everything. I miss her. The sound of her own voice startled her. She hadn't meant to say the words out loud. She smiled apologetically. I mean, she was around 24/7. I kind of miss her. Reed grinned. You kind of have a crush on her.
Yeah, so I do, she admitted. That's okay. I do, too, and let me tell you, I have a much better chance with her than you do, he said with a laugh. Although picturing you and Danielle Stevens together, he wiggled his eyebrows. That's kinda hot.
Harper slugged him on the shoulder.
Do not picture me naked.
He laughed as he rubbed his shoulder.
Not so much you I'm picturing naked, Harper.
A loud knock on the door signaled pizza, and Harper let out a grateful sigh. Ending that conversation. Instead of using the table, they took the pizza into the living room and relaxed on his sofa. Reed put the TV on, but muted the sound.
Let me tell you, he said, waving his pizza at her. I think Mize was really upset about the suspension. I know you think he doesn't like you, but I think it bothered him.
She put her piece of pizza down, picking up her drink instead.
I quit, Reed.
He stopped in mid-chew, staring at her with wide eyes.
What?
I resigned. He wouldn't accept it. He told me to take the 2 months to think about it. He dropped his pizza.
Why the hell would you resign? Just because you got suspended? Come on, Harper. You had to have known that was coming. You took off with her. Wouldn't even tell me where you were going.
It's not because of the suspension. She took a deep breath. Remember me telling you about the serial killer in Tucson?
Yeah, the Raggedy Ann doll freaked you out.
He killed 8 women. She swallowed. The last victim, her name was Jan. She was my partner, my wife.
Oh, Jesus, Harper. I'm sorry.
Harper shook her head. I'm just telling you this because I can't do this anymore, Reed. Danielle, she became important to me. I need to protect her. I didn't protect Jan. I had to protect Danny. She met his gaze. Do you understand? If I'd failed again, it would have killed me. He nodded.
That's why that night in the car you were so emotional.
Yes.
I'm sorry, he said again. But you got that guy in Tucson, right?
No. He never surfaced, never killed again. His eyes widened.
Oh, man. You don't think this guy...
No. When the first Raggedy Ann doll showed up, I'll admit, the thought crossed my mind. Things were too different, though. My guy would wait for the victims to return home. He raped, tortured, killed, left the doll. We had no suspects. She blew out her breath. And I had no closure.
Wow. Makes sense why this case became so personal to you, Harper. You should have told me.
What I did was wrong. Danny could have gotten killed. I think this guy was so angry, so mad, that he had her and she got away, that he let his guard down. Or else he was so arrogant he thought he'd never get caught. But that night, he came in with a knife. I don't think he intended to abduct her. I think he was mad. I think he was over the whole stalking thing. I think he just wanted her dead. I think he was through playing games. He wanted it over with as much as we did.
How could he not have known you'd be waiting?
I was a cop, but I was a woman.
I guess he thought we'd be trembling in fear of him. That's how I picture him anyway, an egotistical man playing cat and mouse with two inferior women. It may have even insulted him that they were relying on me, a woman, to protect Danny.
Maybe you should go into profiling. You seem to have this guy pegged.
She picked up her pizza again, knowing it was cold.
I think I'm tired, Reed. I always wanted to be a cop, a detective, always. But now, I think I'm done.
What are you going to do?
I have no idea.
Well, I think you should do what Mai said. Take the 2 months to think about it.
I will. Then he smiled.
So you're really going to L.A. to see Danielle Stevens?
She drank the last of her drink.
No, I'm going to see Danny Strauss.
Chapter 53. Danny stood at the window, staring out at her neighbor's pool. From this vantage point, she could only see a portion of it, but the blue water rippled invitingly. She fingered the locket at her neck, so glad to have it back. Mr. Chandler had called her the very next day after she'd dropped it off, and she'd gone immediately to pick it up. The locket was her lifeline to what? Her grandmother? To her innocence? She had felt naked without it. Naked. Lost. Adrift. Detached. Lonely. Alone. Sadly, now that she had the locket back where it belonged, those feelings hadn't changed much. She had stopped hoping Harper might call. Or text. Something. Harper had been so blatantly absent that Danny wondered if she would even see her when she returned to Dallas. She'd heard from the FBI once. Not much more than a courtesy call, really. She thought she might hear from Harper, if nothing else, to let her know about her suspension. After all, it was her fault that she was getting suspended. Was that it? Was Harper angry? Did she blame Danny? No, she hadn't seemed upset about the looming suspension. It was expected, and she had merely shrugged it off. Then why hadn't she called? Why hadn't she replied to her text? Because, obviously, she doesn't miss you. She pounded her thigh with her fist. She had to get over this. She had turned into nothing but a walking zombie. Even Shelley had stopped coming by. That, of course, had less to do with her mood, and more to do with her announcement to her and Pamela that after the filming, she would be taking a break. It was more than a break, of course, but she hadn't told them that. She thought it would cause much less of a stir than to say she was quitting. Right now, her plan was to head to Tennessee as soon as she was finished in Dallas. Head back home and see her family. Try to reconnect with them. After that, she'd decide what she was going to do. She had money. That wasn't an issue. She had done nothing extravagant at all and had invested practically every penny she'd made. She could go anywhere, do anything. She only needed to pick a place. She would eventually make friends, and maybe, one day, she'd meet someone. Someone special. Someone who she could share her life with. She touched the locket at her neck. Yes. Someone special. She closed her eyes for a moment, seeing Harper's face. Not the picture of Harper. The photo that she'd stared at for countless hours. No. The image she had of Harper was the real thing. Sometimes serious, sometimes smiling. But those eyes never seemed to change. Those dark, trusting eyes. Those eyes that she couldn't wait to see again. Those eyes that she feared she would never see again. Those eyes that... The doorbell chimed through the house, startling her. Shelley usually called before she came over. Pamela had been known to pop over unannounced, though. She sighed. She wasn't in the mood for Pamela. Pamela said she was making a mistake, a big mistake, by taking a break.
The fire is hot right now, Danielle. You're almost 30. It goes downhill from there. There'll be someone younger and prettier to take your place. There's no time for a break.
Danny had replied with a smile. I'm happy for them to take my place. She took a deep breath before opening the door. She wasn't in the mood for Pamela. but she could handle Pamela. However, when she opened the door, it wasn't Pamela standing there. Her heart stopped. Her breath left her. She held on to the door for support.
I miss you, too. A lot.
Danny stood there, blinking stupidly at Harper before finally finding her voice.
I've been... God! Miserable, Harper!
Harper stepped forward, and Danny nearly fell into her arms. She held her tightly, soaking in her strength, breathing in her familiar scent, feeling her loneliness fade away as Harper's arms held her tightly. It never once occurred to her that she was outside of her house, in view of anyone who might be lurking, in view of any neighbor who might be home. And she didn't care.
I missed you so much, Harper.
Me too. Everything was empty. Harper pulled back, meeting her eyes. I didn't want to do empty again.
Oh, sweetheart, no.
Danny leaned closer, kissing her gently.
Not empty, not anymore.
When they pulled apart, Harper gave her an apologetic smile. I'm sorry I didn't call. I didn't know what to say. And the more days that passed, well, I was afraid that...
You're here now.
She raised her eyebrows. Can you stay with me? For a while? If you want.
I want. How long is your suspension?
2 months. Danny smiled.
That's all?
She took her hand and pulled her inside.
I think you got off easy, Scout.
She didn't bother with pleasantries. She didn't mind her manners. She simply led Harper back to her bedroom. They needed to talk, yes, but not now. All she wanted right now was to reacquaint with Harper, her body, her lips, her mouth. She, too, wanted to chase the emptiness away. She wanted to forget about the long, lonely days she'd spent since leaving Dallas. Harper was here. Now. Finally. Chapter 54. Harper stood next to Danny, her eyes feasting on the trees. Red and brown, red and yellow, red and orange, barely a hint of green left on this brisk October day. She looked out in awe as the mountain was bathed in a kaleidoscope of brilliant fall colors. So these are the Smoky Mountains, huh? Isn't it beautiful? I didn't realize how much I'd missed it. Danny took her hand and tugged her down the trail to the overlook. This was always a favorite stop when we went to my uncle's place. She leaned her shoulder against Harper's. You like? I love. She turned to Danny, meeting her eyes. A lot. Danny smiled sweetly, then leaned closer and quickly kissed her. I love you too. Then she grinned. And quit worrying. I can't help it. They're going to hate me.
My parents are not going to hate you. Everybody likes you. The director loved you. You got a speaking part, and you looked great in a uniform.
Harper smirked. I had two words,
and you did them beautifully.
Harper laughed, then let her smile fade. Are you sure you're not going to miss it? I mean, you were really good. A natural. I liked all of your movies.
Thank you, but no, I'm not going to miss it, not one bit. I'm looking forward to our life. No more Danielle Stevens.
Okay, I guess that's good, because, you know, this bodyguard stuff is kind of hard work. Danny laughed and linked arms with her as they made their way back to the car.
Hard work, huh? Were the perks not good enough for you?
Oh, they were good. Very, very good, in fact.
I thought so.
Danny leaned closer. What about you? You going to miss being a detective? Not one bit. I'm kind of looking forward to going back to Tucson, seeing the family again.
And I'm looking forward to meeting them. I just hope they don't... I mean, they loved Jan. They might not accept me.
They'll accept you. You're not Jan. You're not replacing Jan. Harper paused. You're Danny. I love you for who you are. They will, too.
I hope so. I wish I could say the same about my parents.
You told me not to worry.
I know. That doesn't mean I'm not worried.
Tell you what. If it doesn't go well, if they're mean and nasty to us, Then we'll just rent a cabin somewhere out here in the mountains and enjoy these fall colors that you love so much. How's that?
Deal.
Danny's smile faltered a little. I really hope that's not the case, though. It's important to me that they get to know the real me. They don't have to like me, or even you, but I want them to know me. I want to be a part of their life again.
Then tell them that.
Danny paused at the car, looking back out over the mountains.
It's good to be home.
She looked at Harper.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have the courage to come back here without you.
Home, to me, is wherever you are.
Danny held her gaze, a soft, gentle smile on her face.
Oh, Scout, I love you so much.
Harper smiled as she opened the car door for Danny. She got a warm, sweet feeling whenever Danny called her Scout. She closed the door, then stood, taking one last look at the colors. She took a deep breath. They were less than an hour from Danny's childhood home, an hour away from meeting her parents, an hour away from officially starting their life together, an hour away from telling someone about their relationship. They hadn't even told Reed.
Would telling someone make it real?
She tilted her head thoughtfully, gazing out across the mountain.
No, it was already real.
Jan, while she'd always have a place in her heart, had faded away. Her ghost didn't visit any longer. At first, she hadn't known whether to be sad or relieved. Now it was a part of her past, and she was ready for her future, whatever that might bring. And that began with meeting Danny's parents. It would be okay, though. She had a feeling. A good feeling. She walked around the car, seeing Danny watching her through the glass. Their eyes held. Yes, she had a good feeling. She hoped it lasted forever. This time, she hoped it lasted forever. This has been an Audible Studios production of The Locket, written by Jerry Hill, performed by Genevieve Bevier. Executive producers Rena Seth and Mike Charzik. Producer Kat Lambrix. Copyright 2018 by Jerry Hill. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.